Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Don't tell strange hotels. I've got some new ideas for the theme. It's just horrible. Dads.
Luckily, we're recording this so we can ask him to drop it in.
Hey, we had no budget, so we went with my scatting, which I'm pretty sure people have heard about.
Aren't you notorious for it? I think so, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Ruthie, what's your best bowling score?
Oh my God.
Don't BS me.
I don't know.
Do you like bowling?
I love bowling. I'm terrible at it. I actually took a bowling class.
What?
Yeah, in community college, I took a bowling class.
Oh, I thank God. Because if you said, like, recently, one, hello, COVID. But if you said, like, late last year, I'd be like, what prompted that?
Yeah. You'd be like,
I finally saw Big Lebowski.
I actually used to go bowl at that actual bowling alley when I
Where is that?
It's gone now. I know. It's called Star Lanes and it was in Hollywood. I know.
Classic 2020.
It was a beautiful place.
Let me ask you this. Was it as beautiful? Because obviously you got production design coming in when they shoot. So obviously it's at a 10.
Yeah.
When you walked in, were you like, yes, I feel it?
You did. Plus, like, I can say this now because they're closed, but like, they didn't card you so you could drink there when you were 18.
Ruthie, if they were still open, you could still say that.
I don't want to get anyone in trouble.
So the bowling class, you took it, like for me, I'm the bowling teacher and I'm like, so just grab a ball and bowl. And that's really all I can help you with. I'm going to go over here and drink a pitcher of Bud Light.
Yeah.
And even if you threw a gutter ball, I'd be like, not bad.
Yeah.
I try to keep your spirits up.
Yeah. I mean, it turns out there's a lot more to it than I ever knew. Like lining up against the arrows and follow through. But I'm not even good at sports. Like I was always picked last. I'm not somebody that you want on your team. I mean, I'm there for team spirit. I'll be a clown, but I'm not going to help you win.
Here's what I like about bowling class. I can't imagine the teachers telling you about the importance of stretching. I can't imagine the teachers telling you about the importance of like proper diet. I can't imagine the teacher even utters the word hydration at any point along the way. Here's how bowling works for me. I like the first game and I go, you know what? I saw some mistakes. I got this. Then during the second game, I get tired and I go, fuck bowling. And then I don't do it again for at least 7 months at all. Our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, is a hilarious comedian. She has a special on Netflix called Sweet and Salty. And maybe you know this, maybe you don't. We can always tell when a comic doesn't care about the title. I don't even have an example because I'm not a guy who names names. But I'll tell you what, I'll name names of people who do get it and do care about the title. And that's Fortune Feimster. And that Netflix special is called Sweet and Salty. And it's so perfect. Fortune
is from the South, my neck of the woods. She's from Belmont, North Carolina. I'm from South Carolina. We're not rivals. And I'll tell you what, we get it. We get manners. We get etiquette. We're a hold the door culture. We're a, hey, let's talk small talk about the weather. It's Southern small talk. Ugh, I'm doing it right now. So without further ado, let's all go ahead and put our hands together. Doesn't matter if you're alone. She deserves all the applause. Here she is, the great and hilarious Fortune Feimster.
My family, my grandmother, my parents, they instilled manners. It was a very, that was always first and foremost. Like, you treat everybody with respect. You open doors for people. You say hi to people. You shake hands back when you were able to. And so I think that carried with me through life. And being a performer, it's like, I'm not better than anybody. I'm in my position's not better than anyone. I just am doing a job. And so I'm going to treat everybody kindly. And like, you know,
scale of 1 to 10. How mad do you get when someone doesn't say thank you when you hold the door for them?
Oh, that is annoying. At least a nod. Come on.
A nod or just, hey, thank you. But when I truly, when someone doesn't say thank you, I loudly go, you're welcome.
Really?
And then all I think is like, that's that Carolina blood coming out where I'm like, catty. You're welcome.
I'm probably a 5. Where it's like annoying, but not enough to like have an outburst.
You're a sane person. I get in the car and I'm like, do I follow them? I don't know your situation with your father, with your dad, mm-hmm. which obviously we'd ask about. But is any of that come from him? I know you mentioned your mom, but is it? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like your dad is that type of personality where it really matters to have those manners and to have that kind of respect for other people?
Yeah, my dad's a really nice guy. He's the kind of guy that wants everybody to be happy. Like, you're good, right?
Hippie.
You're good.
I knew it came from somewhere.
He's a simple guy, though. You know, like, my parents divorced when I was 12. And so a lot of my influence of who I am, I think, is mostly from my grandmother.
Okay.
And then my mom was big in the manners as well. My dad was just kind of like, yeah, whatever your mom wants. Listen to your mom, you know, kind of that,
like
that kind of guy.
Diffusion of responsibility. I love that. I can't fault him. I'm studying that exact same craft as we speak.
he was a guy that it took a lot to get him riled up. And he was pretty even tempered. My mom was very book smart. My dad was very street smart. My mom would be like counting money in front of an ATM in Spain, like 20, 40, 60. And you're like,
I'm rich! Loudly.
Meanwhile, people are like, let's rob her.
Yeah. I think she wants us to have her money. It just seems like she's a walking, talking
100,
billboard.
200.
Does anyone want money?
So I picked up things from both of them for different reasons. But he wasn't as academic. I think my chillness comes from him.
Did you grow up with both of them, like spending time split with them?
Yeah, I mean, mostly my mom. My dad was a big influence when they were still together. He was the one that woke us up in the morning and singing. He was like the happy, jovial, making breakfast. Yeah. My mom had to be the disciplinarian. So we're like, she's a real bitch. She's a real bitch.
That's so, like, I like that it's flipped, like, from the traditional stereotype
that's like you were
dad's the disciplinarian.
Well, love getting, this is how much I love making breakfast. And Fortune, you can relate to this just because of our Southern heritage. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
obviously, if you're like, yeah, breakfast, just some granola and yogurt, I'm like, why don't you go fuck right off? Because that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Mm-hmm. I wake up, I've got sausages going. I'm doing eggs. I got pancakes. You want waffles? I can mix it up. The batter's the same.
Yes.
That is granola and yogurt in the mm-hmm. Like, that is the basic. Like, yes, I had a parfait. Yeah, that's our parfait.
Yeah, I didn't know anyone growing up that had a healthy, like, yogurt breakfast.
Doesn't make any sense.
And when you would hear of someone eating cottage cheese, you're like, oh, they must be on a diet.
Yeah. I know. know. And that's cheese.
It's cheese.
So I've limited to just country fried steak and cottage cheese with mashed potatoes.
You're watching my figure.
What is that, a salad? That sounds like a salad.
That sounds like me growing up. I grew up in Los Angeles, so I grew up eating like half a grapefruit my entire life.
No.
Like, yeah. I'm jealous, you guys.
Don't be jealous. You're going to live 10 years longer than
no
me.
Way.
I know. When I go home, like my partner's from Michigan and her whole family's skinny, and she goes to North Carolina and she's like, I don't think anyone eats a salad around here.
Has she ever said these lines? One, I can't eat another fucking biscuit.
Yes.
Two,
yes.
Macaroni and cheese is not a vegetable.
Yes. Both of those things. I can't tell you how many people in my life over the course of, you know, since college I've heard the words, I need to eat something green. After they've spent like a weekend with my family, they're like, if I have one more fried food, I'll explode. Dude. And I'm like, talking about?
I was in Atlanta and I said that to my buddy Gilbert. I go, we're like day four of being there. And I go, dude, I gotta get some like green in me. I think my whole system's clogged. And he goes, oh, dude, I know this great like meat and three. And I was like,
I know your
intentions are good, but I need to like go to someone's garden and rip stuff out of the ground and eat it in its rawest form.
Yes. So true. We did a week of shows with Conan in Atlanta, and like midway through, after eating like Gladys Knight's chicken and waffles for a week, I was like, I need a green smoothie. And everyone's like, that doesn't exist.
It's like being in Buffalo, New York. When you're in a place that they're like, our economy is snack food, you're like, fucking sign me up then.
Yeah, the South, everything social revolves around food. Like you're at breakfast eating, you know, waffles going, well, for dinner, we're going, you know, you're thinking about meals at a meal.
And it's cultural.
Jackson and I, that's my partner, we did the Whole 30. It's like, you eliminate all these things for 30 days. And my mom was like, I'm going to do it too. And we're like, are you though? She's like, yes, I'm going to do it. It's no sugar, no dairy, no soy, no fried food, no processed food of any kind.
Yeah.
Did you do full 30 days?
We've done it twice. And I'm down like 40 pounds still.
Oh my God. Well,
that's amazing.
Of course. That's probably because finally in our lives, we're eating the way we're supposed to.
Well, now I've put on like 10 of those. So I'm down more like 30.
Welcome back. I know. My team.
The freaking quarantine. But my mom was like, I'm going to do it too. I'm going to eat steak and sweet potatoes. And you're just like, okay. And every week she'd be like, I'm doing it. I'm like, are really? She goes, I'm doing it. And then we came home like a week after she supposedly did it.
She's
and
crying.
She's putting butter on bread and cream corn. And she's like, don't judge me. Don't judge me. And we're like, did you ever do it though? Because... If you did it for 30 days, you don't usually want to immediately eat that stuff.
Because it hurts.
Yeah. And she's just like, better, better, better. Cream corn, fried, fried, fried.
I do cream corn instead of cereal and mashed potatoes instead of water.
To this day, we're still like, we don't think you did it.
You need to set up like a baby cam to watch her.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Do you guys miss being in the South? Is there like
Oh, I love to visit. I try to go home like 3 times a year. I mean, I definitely want to live in LA. I love living in a big city. I really enjoy the vibe of the West Coast because I'm laid back. And I think the religious aspect of the South was hard sometimes as a gay person.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I believe in God and I'm a Christian. Like, I grew up Methodist, so I'm not like anti, like, yeah.
I love that you say Christian light in your special.
I'm Christian light.
Oh, my God. Yes. I say that all. I mean, I copyright you on it, but I say it all the time.
Yeah. I'm just like, be a good person if you can.
Yeah.
Like, that's my belief.
It's that easy.
Yeah. But it's hard for me to permanently live in a place where people are like, yeah, we're not sure that you should have the same rights as us. That part's tricky.
Oh, that's a turnoff? Huh, that's weird.
And a lot of people are coming around, at least on that thing, the gay thing. And so it's better. It's
the
certainly
gay thing.
The gay thing. It's better. But I love to visit my hometown because there's really lovely people and they're really nice and wonderful to me. And so it's a nice like break to just go if I want to go just like chill.
Was your dad religious?
No, not at all. Like, he only went to church because we had to go as a family because that's what you do in the South.
Yeah, my dad was very like Catholic.
Yeah.
And he made us go, like, we go to the beach and go to church. And I was always like, I'd be like, but it's vacation.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't mean you don't go to church. And I like could never understand going to church on vacation.
Right.
And yet I do understand from his perspective. He's like, yeah, but if it's your religion, why would you stop just because it's vacation?
You're like,
I'm like, I get that.
Break from everything, baby.
Yeah.
we're taking a break from God for a little bit. He's cool with it. He didn't care.
Wow, that is pretty religious. Because most people did on vacation that I knew didn't go to church while they were away.
No, and they will not be at God's table.
That's
I'll tell you that
true.
Right now, Fortune.
That's true. When they go to those pearly gates.
And when they go to those pearly gates and everybody's on a 30-day cleanse. Oh, that'd be the worst.
Yeah.
You get to heaven and they're like, look, you died at a weird time. We're doing a 300-year cleanse.
I mean, honestly, the only reason my dad had any sort of semblance of manners or right or wrong was because of my mom and her family. Like, he grew up with a mom who was a really not good person who, you know, he had to kind of fend for himself from a young age. Like, he legit, like, hitchhiked to school because she wouldn't even take him
to
school.
That's why he's got those street smarts.
Exactly. Yeah. So she was never instilling in him, like, here's how you know, nothing. Like, she didn't even remember his birthday. So,
oh, wow.
Did you ever meet this woman?
Mm-mm, I never did. Yeah. No.
Yuck.
I know.
Good for you.
Yeah. I never. He never wanted me to, and I never wanted to.
That makes sense. And, that he was not wanting
but
you to.
So he has this like mix of like that world of just complete neglect, and then my mom and her family, you know, were like, this is right and wrong. This is manners. This is what, you know, and so he incorporated that, like he knows what to do, but then there's also this just natural part of him that's like,
yeah,
I'll do what I want, you know.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting mix.
And did you feel influenced by both of those sides?
I do feel like it made me able to relate to a lot of different people. Because even though I grew up with not much money, my mom came from money.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew the country club world and how to behave and manners and the education thing. And then I had the, like, you know, NASCAR chicken wings, titties.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a t-shirt. And Fortune is just quoting a very popular Myrtle Beach t-shirt. That's all she's doing.
Yeah. So it was an interesting childhood for sure. But I guess that does make for a better comedian.
I wonder stuff like this too. Like, is there a part of you that goes, well, I get my sense of humor from maybe like that seed comes from your dad.
Mm-hmm.
But then it seems like that perspective, it's almost like you've got it in this great place, knowing that your parents are so polar opposite in many ways,
mm-hmm.
to me is what it creates that product of you, where it's like, you is the exact outlet everyone wants to hear that from, because it's right. not living on these extreme ends of the spectrum. It's like,
right.
no, she knows how to relate to us with these very, like, here's what I've observed, yeah. and it's wild, you know?
Yeah, because it's like, I'm not, like, a typical, like, my perspective as a gay person is not the same as this gay person. My perspective as a Southern person is not the same as this Southern person.
Exactly.
I feel like I'm coming at it from a lot of different angles. So I can be like, oh, these are my beliefs. I feel this way, but I get why that person acts that way,
yes. right?
or believes those things. So I don't immediately go, oh, they're trash. I go, no, I know where that's coming from. I can
yes.
understand it.
You know the bubble that they're in, because you've been in that bubble.
Exactly. So I'm like, I'm not judging it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And not to blow smoke up your ass, but you are, it's so important to have someone like yourself be as vulnerable and open and honest as you are, because people, especially in the South, and I think about this, the region we grew up in, need to know that their bubble is only what they think it is. The fact mm-hmm. that there's a lot of people in the South, it's like, oh, well, in my town, we have one gay person. No,
right.
you have thousands.
But
you built a culture where
it.
They won't
yeah.
say it, because you created this
it.
Fear.
Yeah.
And you don't understand that if you got rid of that, how much more peaceful and prosperous and progressive and joyful the place would be, because you allowed people to just be themselves. So instead of focusing all their efforts towards
yeah.
hiding their identity, maybe their efforts would go towards many other things that, you know, they could relax and let the, you know, 100%. Drop their shoulders a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, and that was one of the things I was most proud of with I did a Netflix special this year, and I filmed it in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I filmed it in a theater that is also a church. The McGlohan.
It's beautiful.
And so it was important for me, because I wanted to show, like, okay, hey, I'm Southern. I'm gay. I'm a daughter. I'm a this. I'm a that. And so I wanted to tell my life story. And I got so many messages from people. And I think it did open their eyes in a lot of ways of like, oh, I understand the journey now. You know, you grew up like me. You went to the Methodist church. You went to Chili's afterwards. You did this. And then you discovered this about yourself.
That's but so you had relatable.
Just, yeah. And so it was like important for me to show people that. And I've had a lot of parents write me saying, like, I watched it with my kid and they told me they were gay after watching it.
Oh, my God.
They saw me laugh at your jokes.
That's the whole, when someone tells you that, and even
yeah.
if just one person tells you that, you just go, well, then that was, that. Then it's all worth
yeah.
everything for that
you did
one
it.
Person to have that awakening.
Yeah, I had a girl write me a really long email just saying, like, my family's very conservative. They kind of test their parents, but putting it on and see how long they'll last.
Yeah.
And they go, they watch the whole thing. She goes, she didn't laugh at everything, but
and
she
you go,
laughed
fuck
at
you. And then
and
you delete
I'm like,
that
your
email.
Mom sucks. but she's like, but she laughed at a lot of things, and she didn't walk away when you started talking about being gay. She goes, that was huge. And so I'm doing it just to tell my story. But if the result of that is some people that lived a certain way who hasn't had exposure to that
yes.
can learn from it, then that's amazing. Because I do
truly.
Think the South gets a bad rap. I think it's sort of that everyone sort of jumbled in, like, oh, they're like this. And
yes.
I go, it's a lot more nuanced than that. And
yeah, there's a lot of parts of the South that are actually more inclusive and
yeah.
More diverse. There's parts of it that are actually more progressive than it gets credit for, but
yeah.
people still think that people walk around without their shoes on and don't have TVs, which is still there.
That
sure.
still happens. But, you know, people like you and I came out of there. I mean, you know, there's different kinds of people everywhere. I mean, and there have been, you know, as a stand-up, we tour all over the country. I've certainly felt more unwelcomed out of the South in certain towns than I've ever felt in the South. And you would,
yeah.
and I never say where what states these are in.
No, you can't. Career suicide.
Career suicide. But people would be shocked because they go, oh, that place is so progressive, you know. And you go, nah, you don't, don't be
yeah.
so sure.
You got the underbelly of it all.
Yeah. So I think that the biggest thing is telling your story and just helping people, opening everyone's eyes, be the South or
yeah.
anywhere, as to like, oh, here's a journey that's not mine. What can I learn about that?
person. Yeah.
I love that clip of you talking about coming out to your dad. I mean, it makes everybody laugh, but then also is so great for maybe somebody who's considering coming out to their parents and how that can go.
Yeah.
And I was curious with your dad, since, like, was it easier to come out to him than it was your mom? Or, you know, like,
I told my mom first, and, you know, she just was very, it was in that a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
And she was very quiet. I think for her, it was just like she had a, I think every mom has a plan of what your life might look like.
Of course.
A vision of it, I guess.
Yeah.
So it was, for her, it was unraveling that vision. Like, oh,
that's hard to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Her worry was, oh no, like your life's gonna be harder
right
now.
Yeah.
And my job as a parent was to try to make it less hard. And now I can't protect you from this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was a hard thing for her. But with my dad, I mean, honestly, I told him like right after, and he just was like, You're my daughter. Yeah. I love you. You're my daughter.
I love that. But
because he's like a simple guy, he didn't know what to say. Like, we're like having this very deep talk, and he and I don't talk, and we don't have deep conversations. He knew enough to be like, this is a big thing. And, but it was almost like his mind was just like, love, love, love. You're my daughter. I love you. And then you're like, that's all I could ever want.
Right.
Yeah. And I think when someone can't find the words, you know, when it's like an overload like that of information that maybe just like out of nowhere kind of thing, I think what they do say almost feels to be so much more blatantly honest.
Yeah.
Adverse situations is when you find out who people really are, like how they would be. And so I kind of love that your dad could, the only thing he could find was that, well, you're my daughter and I love you.
You're my daughter.
Yeah. And also just saying, well, hey, at concrete level, all I know to tell you is that I don't really care.
It doesn't
change anything.
It doesn't change it.
Well, and it makes me think like what you said about your mom had this whole idea and vision of what your life was going to be. And I think women do that.
Maybe,
and like, but maybe dads don't. Like, Rory, do you have a vision for what your daughter's life is going to be? And then.
I do and I don't. I have this vision of fun stuff. I really want to be friends. I really want someone to like hang out with. Like whenever I see my friends who like really hung out with their parents, I could tell it was more like a friendship because the parenting stage has kind of ended in terms of, you know, like teaching and disciplining. Mm-hmm. But I won't lie. I have envisioned in my mind a situation where my daughter comes out to me. And I think that that's, to me, that is the progress and evolution of humanity, where it happens over time to the point where it no longer happens because it's not a thing for anyone to have to announce.
The sit down talk.
Yeah.
I've often wondered if my daughter was like, Dad, I'm gay, if I would be like, I don't fucking care. You're in front of the television and it needs to stop.
Daddy's trying to watch golf.
The Masters from 94. Not even a fun, interesting one. Yeah, I guess plan-wise, the only thing I have planned is that I've sort of picked out two options for our first dance for our dad-daughter dance at her wedding.
Cute.
And then my wife is like, what if she doesn't want to get married? I'm like, I just need to do this dance.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff, like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
I'm curious, like, both your parents still live in the South?
Mm-hmm. They do, both in Well, my dad just moved to South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Where?
North Myrtle Beach, buddy. You know,
get out of town.
You know the old people that love shagging?
I don't know what that is.
Beach music is their thing. Oh, it's people my parents' age. So they're like, my parents are 74.
Yeah.
And so there's these bands in the North Carolina, South Carolina area that are super popular. The Embers. And they're like, you probably know the song Carolina Girls, best in the world.
Oh,
you
yeah, yeah.
That was
Ruthie, honestly, if you didn't know that, there was going to be real tension.
So the dance that they do is called shagging. It's called shag. Uh-huh.
Shag.
Well, there was a movie, right?
Yes. I just tried to find the movie Shag to make my daughter watch.
Yeah, there was a movie, and it's like a slower swing dance, sort of. In North Myrtle Beach is an area where a lot of these older people go for these like spring break kind of weeks where it's all shag dancing and music, and my dad is in the thick of it. And
oh
so
my
he
God, I love
retired
that.
Retired and moved there to be with his people.
That is the best. Mm-hmm. I love that so
That's
much.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
God, I want to rewatch that movie so badly.
It's like spring break for old people.
Yeah, like he's like retired at like senior citizen Coachella. Like
100%.
That's so cool. Like he's like that's my dream in life. I mean, not really to retire at Coachella, but yeah. Like basically like, well, I'm going to work hard and then I'm going to retire exactly where I want to and dance and
the Redneck Riviera, Myrtle
Beach.
That's what it's mm-hmm. called. Oh my God, I used to go for a week every summer forever.
North Myrtle's where all the shag bars are. He takes his golf cart to Fat Harold's. And they hang out at
the
bar.
Someone's got to be fat. It's like we're all so attracted to a restaurant if the person's name is fat because you're like, well, obviously the food's good. Yeah. How they gain all that weight?
They serve fried bologna sandwiches there.
Oh my God.
And it's so Southern.
Ugh, I'd eat that right now.
That's his thing. So he's retired, but pre-COVID, he would like work the door at Fat Harold's here and there.
He did?
Like checking IDs and then...
He was a bouncer?
I mean...
Your dad retired? Your dad retired and then moved to North Myrtle and became a bouncer at a shag bar.
I'm so excited because like I've known your mom has been a big part of your... you know, she's introduced you on your show. Yeah. I've met your mom. Oh, I think she's adorable. And then it's like, I was like, the whole time I was like, what's Fortune's dad like?
I'll tell you, Carolina girl,
best in the world. I guess I haven't really talked about him that much. That's so funny, but
he's like living his best life as a bouncer at shag bars. Like,
he is
lots of Hawaiian shirts. I'm sensing
Tommy Bahama.
Yep, I pictured it.
He does a radio show once a week.
He does a radio show.
Mm-hmm. Because before he retired, he lived in my hometown, and he did a radio show with Johnny B every Saturday where they played beach music. And he'd be like, my dad said, yeah, I know what it's like to have a little notoriety myself. You know, our radio shows.
It's in our family.
What's your dad's name? Does he have a name?
His name's Mike, but of course in the South, his nickname is Tiny.
Yeah.
And obviously, because
you have to have a nickname.
Obviously,
right?
He's not skinny. He's fat because that's my family. But his nickname's Tiny.
Is your dad's love for beach music what led to their ultimate split? Is that what caused this?
It did.
Your mom was like, honestly, I can't keep up with the coke in the bathroom and the.
Like, I don't like Tommy Bahama clothes.
I hate your clothes.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, a little bit. You know, my mom was like, well, there's three kids. She's like working. They gotta pay bills, and my dad's like, there's a beach music night at the Holiday Inn, and I gotta quote-unquote work.
Which I gotta be at, because I got, you know, me and Johnny B are gonna be down there.
So, kind of. I mean, he basically started, he was a traveling salesman, which, you know, is trouble. And
What did he sell?
He sold
beach music and Tommy Bombs.
Obviously, yeah.
He sold
obviously margaritas,
skirts, yeah.
Roadie sodies.
Yeah.
He sold cleaning products. You know, when you're a traveling salesman, you get into some troubles. here and there and do some things you're not supposed to do.
It sounds like your dad lived seven lives within one life.
Yeah.
He's like, let's just do them all right now.
But now he's like, what's funny is like he, you know, he was doing all that while they were married. And then once they got divorced, he's like, I'm tired. And he just like sits at the bar now. And he's remarried now. So he's not the, you know, he's not looking for the ladies anymore. He's just like hanging out with his buddies and doing
My parents
are very different. Like they came, you know, how the old expression that he was born on the wrong side of the tracks. Like,
yeah,
he was that. My mom was like a debutante. She was very loved reading, loved school. He's all like hitchhiking to school.
Your parents were the story from Shag.
Yeah.
It's the debutantes that go down to Myrtle Beach and then they meet like the rough guys.
100%. My dad was the bad boy. And my mom was the like, oh, he's cute.
I'm gonna fix him up.
Did they meet in high school or?
They met in high school and then broke up while she was in college and he went in the Navy. And then got back together right after she graduated. And my grandmother, I think it was so scandalous. My grandmother ended up loving, my dad's a good guy and has had many lives. And my grandmother ended up loving him and treated him like a son. But in the beginning, she offered him money for him not to marry my mom. Like,
are you serious?
Out of a movie. It sounds like out of a movie.
That is straight out of a movie.
He turned it down. Now later I was like, you probably wish you'd taken that money, right?
Was it the beach music? She was like, look, that's just not who our family is. We're more
He wasn't into the beach. He didn't get into the beach music till his midlife crisis when he was like suddenly grew a mustache and, you know, is renting the convertible. You're like, what?
I'm in that right now. I totally understand it. Look at me. I got on a short sleeve button down. I'm halfway there.
Oh my God. We went to the beach one summer and he was wanting to hang out with my brothers and his friends and he wanted nothing to do with my mom. And he's like, the boys and I are going to go down to the pier. And he's like playing MC Hammer. We're like, what's happening?
Too legit to quit.
He had like a gold chain. And then we had a picture from that weekend. And, you know, that was back when you had to get your film developed. And we got all our pictures back. We had taken pictures up on the dock. And my dad decided to free ball it that week.
Oh my God.
And,
goes, Mike, you did not wear underwear in these pictures. You're disgusting.
Oh my God.
He's like, midlife crisis, gold chain, free ball.
I love Tiny.
Oh my God.
I love him.
Yeah.
I read that your family still spends the holidays together, though, with your mom and dad.
Yeah. We like,
do they get along?
Oh yeah, they like love each other dearly, but have a hard time like admitting. I mean, they're like friends, but they're those people like can't live with them, can't live without them kind of people.
Sure.
It's not like a love thing. It's more of like we've known each other since we were 17.
Right. And
her family's all dead. His family's all dead. So there's like always going to be that connection. I mean, once my parents got divorced, we just kind of decided as kids, I don't know why they let us decide this, that we were all going to spend holidays together. So it was our first Christmas. They divorced in August. In December, we're like, Dad's coming to Christmas. And she's like, no, he's not. And we're like, yeah, he is. So he came and she's like crying the whole time.
Oh God. And this is right after?
Yeah. And then
you guys are monsters. Jesus.
I know. We were a little assholes.
Fortune, we would have never had you on this show if we knew who you really were.
Well, we just were like, we're a family, you know, you just didn't want to let go of that thing. And I remember we saved up a bunch of money to get her a bread maker because we were poor. And we were so proud of it. But we got him a bunch of like crap, like poppycock, you know, and cashews.
Which he probably loved.
Great. But he had a bunch of little things and my mom had one thing. And so she saw all his presents and she goes, yeah, you kids, love your dad more than me. Look at us. And we're just like, what's happening? We got you a bread maker. It cost $100, which, you know, was
And then you hear your dad go, look, a curly straw. A 10-pack.
I love that, though, because, like, when parents get divorced, the kids, like, almost immediately become the parents then.
Yeah.
Like, you guys were like, we're in charge now. We're saving up for gifts. We're deciding how Christmas is going to be.
Yep, exactly. But they eventually found their way in it. And, like, now, you know, I can only go home a couple times a year. She's sort of, he comes, his wife comes, my brothers come, and it's just everybody's there, and it just is what it is.
That's so cool.
Great. I have one quick question before we bounce out of here. The name Fortune, walk us through it. Is that where are we coming from?
Well, you know how Southerners are with the family names.
Yes, it's that's what I thought. Yeah.
100% a family name.
Of course, yeah.
So any Southern person, your first name's, you're named after someone in your family. Your middle name's usually a last name of someone.
A lot
someone.
Of maiden names get become first names.
So Fortune is my great-grandmother's maiden name.
Yep, that's
so there were four sisters in that family. Last name Fortune, they called them the Misfortunes.
I'm just not putting it together. That would be Misfortune.
The Misfortunes. Oh my God. So my grandmother's Minnie Fortune was her name. Or, I mean, my great-grandmother.
Oh,
I love it.
And Minnie she wasn't too rich, Fortune. Wasn't too poor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Had a Minnie Fortune.
Just enough. And so my grandmother always loved the name Fortune. And when my mom was pregnant with me, they didn't know, if I would be a girl or a boy back then. You didn't find out in advance. But my grandmother was like, begged my mom, please name, the baby Fortune.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, that is too big of a name. They'd have to be Miss America to live up to a name like that. And they're saying, if I was a girl, name her Fortune. My mom was like, I love the name Emily. It's my cousin's name. It's such a girl next door name. So my mom named me Emily. And my middle name I had two middle names, but because it was like
it planned. Is so Southern.
It was so many Southern. Names,
it's like,
so
many it's all out names. Of the Southern playbook.
Yeah. So when my grandmother died, I knew how much she wanted me to be named Fortune. And I just decided, because she was such a big influence on me, that I was going to professionally go by Fortune. As like, kind of like the Carol Burnett nod to her grandmother with the ear. That was going to be always my nod to my grandmother.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I thought you could be Fortune on stage and Emily in life, and it just doesn't work out. It doesn't work like that. So I think I start going by Fortune at 24, and basically everyone calls me Fortune.
It's the now. I love it.
I love it.
Best.
Now I so don't feel like an Emily at all. Like, I don't resonate with that name.
Yeah.
I know
you
that.
You refuse to respond to it.
Yeah.
Well, but it'd be
but
weird.
Does anyone call you Emily?
Oh, yeah. Everyone I grew up with.
Oh, they do.
The next time I bring you up on stage, I'm doing all 14 of your names.
Thank you. It's weird when my family calls me Fortune. I'm like, no, guys. Like, so Emily still exists, but it is almost like Emily Southern, growing up in Belmont, Fortune, LA comedy.
Yeah.
I almost feel like two different people.
Fortune, Myrtle Beach only.
Yeah.
Boom.
Your dad was like, she needs a dance name.
Yep.
Yep.
That's right.
Well, I got to say, this has been so much fun to have you on the show and to get to chat and hear all this. Thank you for opening up about the family.
Oh, yeah. It was great talking
Love
to you.
Love to hit up a shag bar and meet Tiny one day.
Man, well, I'm telling
you. You need to come with us on our very, very limited tour of one show.
One show that everyone will refuse to wear masks and social distance. Right?
And that's how you know we're in Myrtle Beach. Fortune, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, guys.
There it is, Ruthie.
I really would sell their merch on a tour of the two of them until we could go to shag bars and hang with Fortune's dad.
Shag bars to drink and then the most gluttonous, rich.
I'll do the social media.
Food.
I'll tour manage. I'll drive the bus. I'll do everything just to go on this Southern eating tour with you guys.
All the variations of fried chicken.
That's all I want.
It's so many people do it different ways.
I know.
None of it's good for your heart. And that's that's the only thing they have in common, is that one, it's chicken, and none of it's good for you.
But, oh my God, what an amazing person, what an amazing comedian, and I take great pride when I come across other Southerners who get it. I say get it, like, they understand, you know, I guess really just empathy. They understand progress. They understand, honestly, just recycling is enough for me. If someone's like, look, I don't vote, but I recycle, I'm like, all right, I'll take it. If you want to learn more about Fortune, follow her on Twitter. It's at Fortune Funny. And please, 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 please head over to Netflix and check out her special, Sweet and Salty.
And you can also check out Fortune as the voice of Brenda in Bless the Hearts, the animated series on Fox. It's going to be in its second season, and you can stream all of season one on Hulu.
And if you want to find out who's responsible for this goddamn show, Ruthie, smack him in the face.
Dads is produced by Jen Samples, Nick Liao, and me, Ruthie Wyatt. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Will Becton and Anya Jeshik. Our theme song is by Strange Hotels, with additional music by John Danick. Special thanks to Sean Doherty.
As always, keep up with Dads the Podcast by following me on Twitter at Roy Scovel. And if you love the show, don't be afraid to rate, review, and tell a friend. It's what keeps this ship sailing, folks. We're trying to get all the way around the world. So thank you so much, and we'll see you back here next week.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at tmobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.